Welcome to another episode of the Chai Lounge. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Safira Kaka, the host of the Chai Lounge. I'm getting really lovely memories with my brand new guest who's joining me. She needs no introduction, Tasneem Veli. I would say the OG modest influencer. Back in the day, she's an esthetician, glass skin expert, and now a cancer survivor. She's joining me on this week's episode of the Chai Lounge. Tasneem, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to my new space.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Safira, to you and to your listeners, and Mubarak on this amazing space of yours. And I'm so glad that you have your own platform. You are like the OG of being a presenter in our home. So alhamdulillah, and kudos to you.
It's lovely to be here. As I said, I'm getting like flashbacks of, you know, starting radio, being nervous. And I remember I did a few shows with you when you just started one of the first salons.
Yes.
And you really got me to ease into the interview style. So it's really a full circle moment.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. I'm in a good space, shukar. All things considering, I'm good. Like right now, presently in this moment in time, I'm content. I'm feeling healthy. And I'm feeling, alhamdulillah, happy.
Really?
So, alhamdulillah.
So let's go back a little bit, a couple of years.
Right.
You start off, how did you get into the skincare game?
You know, I think I've told the story so many times, but skin was my forte from the time that I was at school. Mm-hmm. I grew up a very insecure kid.
Yeah.
As I'm sure lots of ladies can attest to this. Grew up insecure, felt like an ugly duckling, but the one thing that I had going for me was my skin.
Really?
So from a young age, it was something that I always loved taking care of. And it grew into a passion. And I realized that because my skin eventually gave me so much of confidence, I wanted to impart that onto others.
Then you kind of got onto the show. Then you got into social media. You were early adopter of social media.
Yes.
And your career started to explode as this modest influencer. I would actually call you one of the OG influencers from the South African Muslim community.
You know, it feels like aeons ago. Like, it feels like, oh my God, was I even part of that platform, because I have taken like a huge step back.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yes, yeah. But sorry, Safira, just repeat that question again.
So getting into that scene.
Right, yeah.
I know you always were amazing dresser.
You know, the thing is like, yes, so fashion was my thing.
Yeah.
And it still is.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes I'm so lazy and scrubs are just so much easier to work with. But at the time, because I thought that being a modest influencer was my niche. I thought that was I was going to carry on influencing modest dresses, and I was going to get picked up or recognized by a brand and sort of use that brand to get the modest dresser on the market. Mm. And like I said, I thought at the time that was my thing. But I don't think it was, because if it was my thing, I think I would have still been on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that skin is...
When you were in it, how was it? Because you were getting brand deals.
Right.
You were everywhere. You were doing workshops. You were hosting workshops. You were everywhere.
At the time, it was hard. We were changing in cars. You're changing in bathrooms. You're hustling all the time. You're sweating and you're just going from outfit to outfit. It was really, really hard. Okay, shukar, at that time I had a bit of youth in me. I had energy. But I had to sit back and ask myself, is it paying the bills?
Mm.
Am I getting the true satisfaction from being a modest influencer? Am I getting the brands to notice who Tasneem Veli was at the time? And it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't, I just felt that there was more to it.
Mm.
And I suppose maybe that's why I sort of gave up on it, because what I anticipated and what I
Because you hustled hard, girl. I'm going to give it to you.
No, Safira, I did.
You
really
did. I know.
I was like,
you were everywhere. Yes.
You know? And I had to sit back and ask myself and have this long conversation with myself and ask myself, was it worth it? Like, being so tired and doing what I was doing. And even though I was out there, and you know, at that time, Asia was big.
Yeah, yes.
But
yes.
Like, I'm talking about Asia, the modest version of Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like the OG. We all aspired to be like Asia and Dina Tokyo. Remember Dina?
Yes, yes.
Like, and those were the girls that we looked up to.
Yeah.
And obviously, they've changed now in the direction that they're influencing. And that's where I wanted to be. I was hungry for that.
Really?
But at the same time, as much as I was hungry for that, I had loved ones who weren't happy with me being on social media.
Really?
So my mom would always say, Tasneem, stop putting yourself out there. Nazar, you know? And let me tell you, there's so much of wisdom in what the elderly, or the advice that you get from your elders.
In what sense?
They know what they, the advice that they're giving you comes from a good place. It, and there's, and there's wisdom in it. And then eventually I started praying so hard. So even while I was still in my influencer phase of my life, I used to pray that Allah, please let my name still be out there without putting my face on social media.
You wanted it.
Yeah, like, but without putting my face. And then, and then you obviously get the waswasa, like, how are people going to even know who Tasneem Ali is if your face isn't there? And then I had to ask myself, but am I here because I want validation? Do I, am I posting because I want people to say, oh my God, you look amazing. Oh my God, I love your style. Oh my God. There was a fine line between
it. Of course.
Do I want...
You mentioned hunger, right? That hunger and the climb and then want it, wanting it so badly. Did you at any point feel you compromised your...
My deen.
Your morals.
Yes, 100%. And there was guilt in every post. So you're putting up a post, you're getting the likes, you're getting the comments, but then in the back of your mind, you're feeling guilty. And then you keep on saying, this is my last post. This is my last post. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. So even while you're posting, I'm still praying, please let them know who Tasneem Ali is without putting my face out there. You know, that was a struggle.
Really?
Yeah. And then a brand comes to you and they're offering you this deal. And then you're like, okay, last one, last one.
Yeah.
So you're having like this constant battle with yourself, you know?
Sure.
And
What was the moment when you're like, no, this is not for me?
I think when, okay, so I seriously, like I really, I started posting less of myself maybe about, it's like 2 years now. Or no, maybe it's like, no.
So post-COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, post-COVID.
Yeah. And then you just realized.
Yeah, and then it was more like, okay, then we were we were posting more for Palestine. You know, that's where I felt, okay, now you got the platform.
Yes.
Before brands were approaching, now you post for for what's close to your heart.
And you went for it.
And then I went for it, And then, but while this was happening, I started giving skin my all.
Really?
Because even while I was posting for Modest Wear, I was still working as, because that wasn't paying the bills.
Yeah.
So I was still doing my skin on, like, you know, on the side.
And I, still and had I my would salon. Say, before we get into skin, that you had reached the crescendo. You were at the top of your game because aunties would, people were going into Durban because of you.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah, except
you know, people were covering. I remember one year, like, I just saw everybody in Durbans and they were all inspired by you.
Yeah.
And then you had the workshops and you had the roadshows and you were everywhere. And I think you became very, very influential. But I think even as somebody who observes, everybody was like, is this really where we should be going as Muslims?
Yes.
You know, and I ask myself that.
Yes, I
mean, it's easy for me to judge you, but not easy for me to judge myself.
Yes.
But I've got to ask myself similar questions.
Yes.
Like there's that, always that guilt. Like
too much.
And Saad's, Saad said it. We had a show and she was saying, everything is sadaqatul jariyah.
Yes.
Even the bad that you do, even the negative influence that you have could be something that could be against you.
You know, I used to speak a lot to her. So she's my sustainable.
So she talking about Apasaria.
Apasaria Karola. Yes, I love her to bits. She's my sustainable. She's my confidant. She is my advisor. Like, we're very close. And even when I went through that struggle, she always told me, if you're posting something, just remember you are Muslim first and foremost. Remember what your intention is. Always make an intention. And then I even used to tell her about, and she used to tell me, like, she always says that the day that I die, she's going to sit in my room. And nobody must disturb her. She's going to lock the door, but she's going to be emptying my cupboards and taking all my clothes. We have this joke.
You have amazing
We have
clothes.
This joke, right?
Yeah.
Between us. And she always says, influence people the right way. So then I came to a point where I asked, okay, maybe I can still take a picture, but without my face.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, there was that fine line. Because I grew up as a very insecure child, feeling like an ugly duckling. When I posted a picture of my face and when I got comments on that, it was feeding something.
Validation.
Validation. It made me feel good. It made me feel pretty. It made me feel, and maybe at that point in my life, I needed it because now I don't need validation from anybody. I don't need to put a picture of what I'm wearing for the day. Yes, I still love to dress. And I love the fact that when my clients walk into my rooms now, they're still getting that inspiration from me. You know, now I'm doing it for myself. Maybe it's, it comes with age. It comes with listening to more lectures, attending madrasa. You know, when you're younger, you think you know it all.
You do.
You don't.
Yeah.
You know, be learning.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And social media didn't come with a handbook.
No, it
didn't. You know, we all started, and then, as you say, the validation was instantaneous from our community. Before the hate started.
Before the hate started,
it was always validation, validation, validation. And it was like, wow, people like me.
Exactly.
People love me.
And people, it was like, people think I'm pretty. People think that I know how to dress. You know, it's like you're feeding something.
But and we all got into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a high that you got every time you posted something.
Yes.
You're like, wow, okay, they really like me.
Yeah.
They really like me. And then the hate started. And then the introspection started.
Yeah, and then you become the topic of discussion at ladies' teas, at girl get-togethers.
Yes.
Who does she think she is? Oh my God, I can't believe she wore that.
Yes.
I would never wear what she's wearing. Yes. You know, then that.
And then it becomes like this competition also.
Yeah.
And that was the underbelly of it that people didn't know about.
Didn't understand. Yeah.
So your decision then to move into skincare, what prompted that?
Because I realized that, you know what, it's something that I'm good at. I've been given a gift. And remember what I told you that I said?
I mean, you were talking about ice facials in 2012.
Remember?
I remember. We did the show, yes.
So what prompted the whole skin journey was I realized that, you know what, okay, yes, I do know how to dress. I can put an outfit together. I think I have a good sense of style. But my passion has and always, I think, will be skin.
Really,
Safira. The satisfaction that I get when a client sends me a message saying that they feel confident, their husband's noticed, their skins are glowing, that is all the validation that I need now.
Really?
That fills my cup.
Really?
That makes me happy. That makes me want to see more clients, improve more faces, you know? And we don't realize when Allah answers a dua, we don't realize that He's answering the dua. What dua was I making all the time? Let people know who Tasneem Valley is without putting herself, without putting her face out there.
Mm.
I don't have to put my face out there. Now people's skins are talking when you look at someone's face, you can see that it's like a Tasneem Valley face, if I can put it that way.
Yes, yes,
you know, like Tasneem Valley is a therapist.
You've got that signature look.
Yes.
Yes.
So my name is there, and I don't have to put myself.
So where are you at the moment with your
skincare? I have my own premises, alhamdulillah. It's taken me years to get where I am.
Yeah.
And I have my own rooms, and alhamdulillah, work has been amazing. I'm seeing so many new clients, and people are seeing a difference in their skin. And with me, it's always been, because I love what I do so much, I always say I feel like a scientist, because I'm at a point now where a client walks in and I already have an intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's a gift from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Allah has given me a gift. He's blessed my hands. And more so, when women who are not from the Islamic faith, thank you for using, and they say, you used Allah's name. Because I always start my treatments with Bismillah.
Wow.
I always have an intention every morning. Ya Allah, today, bless my hands with Afia and with Shifa. Every client that walks in, guide me to make the right choice when it comes to their treatment and recommending their products, whether they're Muslim or not. But the fact that a non-Muslim can say you use Allah's name, that does it for me. Because I feel Allah is there. And like whenever they even comment on their faces, I always say, it's not me. It's my Lord. He's blessed my hands. And that gives me immense, immense satisfaction right now. It's like, it's almost like, you know what, the hunger we spoke about?
Yes, yes.
It's here now.
Really?
Yeah. With it's wanting just to get people's lady skin looking like the best.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
And then Allah always reminds us that we are travelers in this world.
Yes.
Because you get over your influencer career, you get into this really good space with your career in skincare.
Yes, yeah.
And then the big C word comes knocking on your door.
And overnight. Literally overnight.
Speak to me about that. Speak to me about the diagnosis.
Okay, so I was getting ready to go and see clients in Zambia.
Okay.
And this was a Thursday night. And Wednesday, a friend of mine launched a range, and I went to go and support her. And even on that Wednesday night, I was complaining to her that, you know, I'm feeling so tired. And I can't understand why. I think I need to go for an iron drop, but I'll do the iron drop when I come back from Zambia. Thursday afternoon, I drove myself to work on Thursday, sort of getting my bags packed for Zambia. And I phoned my husband Thursday night to tell him that I couldn't drive home. I was extremely fatigued and I couldn't explain the tiredness. So he got a lift to Joburg. We stay in Benoni. he got a lift to Joburg and picked me up, and he asked me, like, what's up? I was like, I don't know, but it's a type of fatigue that I can't explain. I just can't drive. Packed the bags, got into the car. So he still asked me if I wanted to carry on with the Zambia visit. I said, yeah, it's fine. I stay with family. I'll pop a Red Bull and take two Panados. I was due to see my physician for my first, like, my annual yearly checkup that Wednesday.
Okay.
Thursday night, I was sitting at the supper table crying my eyes out. And then my husband said, and my daughters, the two big ones, said, right, mommy, this is our mashura. You have to cancel Zambia. You can't do it like this. Look at how you, like, the reason I was so emotional was because I couldn't explain to them the tiredness. And I also started getting bruises, random bruises. I would come out of the shower, new bruise. Come out, go to work, new bruise. Without knocking, any parts of my body, I would get a bruise. Friday morning, for some odd reason, I could feel that I was a little bit more tired than normal, sort of out of breath tired. My daughter was getting an award at school. I drove myself to the school, was a bit out of breath by the time I got to the car, drove myself to casualty. When I got to casualty, spoke to the nurse, and she said that she asked me if I was taking any blood thinners, and she asked me if I was being beaten up, because it literally looked like I was being beaten up.
Yes.
And I told her no, but I just think I need an iron drop. They did the necessary bloods. 10 minutes later, they walked in, a nurse and a doctor, to say that they spoke to my physician. They're going to admit me because my bloods just look a little bit irregular. They'll schedule the bone marrow test for Monday because everybody's closed. It's a weekend. So I said, I'm not here for a bone marrow test. I just need iron. Still going on, like harping on the whole iron story. Saturday morning, my physician walked in and she said that they're treating my case as an emergency because the labs called Saturday morning to say that they found blasts and immature cells in my blood, and that I need to start mulling over the idea that there's a great possibility I might have leukemia. What was my response? No, doc, I just need an iron drop.
You were still set on the iron drop.
They came and they did my bone marrow extraction. Saturday night was the first time I actually Googled what the symptoms of leukemia was. Bruising, fatigue, blasts, immature cells. Oh, I had all four. So by Saturday night, I had already, I knew in my gut that I had leukemia. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, she walked into my room. And as she walked to my bed, she drew the curtains. And she said, there's no easy way to say this. So I said, just give it to me. So she said, you have leukemia. It's progressing really, really fast. You don't even have time for a second opinion. You need to start chemo now. And I looked at her and I said, the year that my baby's in matric is the year that I decide to get sick. Because it was a big year for her. She's matric,
of course.
You know, my firstborn.
That's such a
motherly thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose every mother would have said that. But and after that, Safira, when I say the adrenaline kicked in.
Really?
I was ready to fight. I had, so a friend of mine, the night before or a day before, I told her to come and meet me for breakfast. And she asked me what I was listening for. So I said, bring samosas. We'll sit outside, you know, and have a cup of coffee with your samosas. And she was the first person that I saw after I got the news. Because I felt like I needed to breathe. I felt like I needed air. And went downstairs and she was there. And she looked at me and she asked me what was wrong. And I told her I have leukemia. She said, don't talk nonsense, man. So I said, I have leukemia. And I bawled my eyes out with her. And we both cried and cried, and my husband had already known because he already got the news from my brother-in-law, who's a doctor. And he was already on his way, and then my parents started coming in. And so I had one solid cry with each of them, and that was it.
That's it.
That was it.
No more crying.
No more crying after that. I had to. So when my girls came into the hospital, Safira, they were dressed like it was a mayor already. They had on their cloaks, they had on their scarves, and they were like crying. Dude. You could see, like, they were crying a lot. And I looked at the two of them and I said, right, that's it. I'm going to draw my strength from you. If you're strong and if you're going to carry on with life as normal, half of my battle is won. I'm going to fight the crap out of this. And as long as I know that you are okay, I'll be okay. So just be okay for me. That evening when they came also, when they saw me, started crying. And obviously I had to be a little bit hard on them. And I said, okay, now enough. If you're going to cry, you're going to make me cry, and that's going to make me weak, and I won't be able to fight this. So I want life to go on as normal. Go to the gym, meet with your friends. I'll be fine. I just need to know that you're fine. And my son, Saifullah, who everybody knows of,
yes,
he didn't understand much. But that night when he walked into the hospital, so he's a very, like he'll sit, he'll be sitting in the lounge playing on his iPad, but his ears are with the conversation. So he obviously knew that something was terribly wrong. Safira, that night was the first time in all of his life that he cried and cried and nobody could console him. He didn't know why he was crying. He knew that something seriously was wrong. And he cried and cried for half an hour. And he just held me, but he didn't know why. That was hard. That broke me.
Really? Because he's your baby.
Because he's our, you know, he's our angel, that boy. And Hannah, my last born, she cried because she also didn't understand to what extent I was sick. But obviously, she could sense the emotion from everybody. And it opened up a huge can of worms at home for my in-laws. Because 26 years ago to the day, my husband's late mom was diagnosed with aplastic anemia. And 9 weeks later, she passed away, which is also a type of bone marrow cancer, if I can call it that.
So it's like all these trauma.
Yes. So my girls are thinking that they their daddy passed away within 9 weeks of a similar blood disorder. Now mom gets bone marrow cancer, I mean blood cancer, and like, you know, so obviously they're thinking we're going to follow like the same path.
Okay.
So I made them promise me that they won't Google anything. That I would keep them, I would be raw and real and honest about every test, about every result, as long as they come to us and not go to Google. And then my journey began. The next day, we got a bed at Donald Gordon, and I walked in with a small suitcase because they said, just bring a small suitcase. And I asked the doctor, okay, doc, so how often am I coming in for chemo? And just because there's so many friends and family that want to become a chemo buddy and keep me company. So she says, no, honey, you're going to be in hospital for a month. And you're going to be in isolation, and you're going to have chemo for 24 hours for the next week, no breaks. Your leukemia is progressing fast and we need to kill it fast. And that was that. And I said, okay, fine, let's do this.
And how was it?
And alhamdulillah, Safira, I went for Hajj. And inshallah, Allah accept my Hajj and take us all over again and again. In, I think it was 2004, if I'm not mistaken. At that time, we didn't have resources like madrasa the way we have now. And just basically going for your Sunday Hajj classes. And we pray that Allah accept, because you don't know any better, you know. And that was like, I think, like I said, in 2004. And my 1 month in hospital, if I have to compare it to my 6 weeks in Hajj, I can't compare it, because that 1 month in hospital was the best, best 1 month spiritually of my life.
In what sense?
My Allah was with me closer than my jugular vein. I felt it so hard. I felt Him so close that there were days when I would chat to my mommy in the morning and say, I love Him so much. How can I thank Him? I want to give Him a gift. He's so close to me. In December, I remember looking for halal retreats where I could go and just cut off and just break away, because I was so tired. And I knew that even if it was a 3 or 4 day retreat, it wouldn't be much of a retreat, because I'd still be busy on my phone taking appointments, wanting to see clients. But when I say, when I was diagnosed, Allah said, you want time out? I'm going to give you time out. Your children will be taken care of. They're in good hands. But I'm going to give you a sickness that's going to wipe away your sins. It's going to make people pray for you. And you and I are going to connect. And that's exactly what it was. My business, don't ask how, my business got taken care of without me being there. Life went on, but I had the best month with Allah. I used to talk to Him all the time.
Really?
You know, people meant well, so they would send duas, messages would come through. Read this, read that. And then eventually, it became too much of a pressure thing.
Because overload, felt, information overload.
It was like information overload. If I don't finish this 1,000 times, like, or 100, you know?
Same as Hajj.
So
like, you've got to go to Arafat, read this.
So eventually I was like, no. I'm going to put this aside. Istighfar was on my tongue all the time. Durood was on my tongue all the time. But I spoke to Allah in English. I spoke to Him like He was my friend. When I looked outside my window and I saw the reflection, like the blue sky and the green tree against the blue sky, it was like, wow, only Allah can create something like that and make it look so magical. And like, I basically just had this window, but this window was like my window to the world at that time, you know, in that 1 month. But every sunrise and every sunset was amazing. Mm. You know the doctor.
And you say you felt him.
How? I felt him. I just knew. I just knew that Allah is there, and I felt at that point in time, whatever I was asking for, he was accepting.
Really?
Qasam Safira. I'm not lying. Wow. I knew in my gut that I am there because of him. What the doctors couldn't believe, every time the doctors would come in and they would be like, you know, a bad day is coming.
Yeah.
And I would be like, okay. And what? So you smile all the time. I'm like, I'm not unhappy. I'm not upset. And in my heart, I knew why I wasn't upset, because I felt about wash away those sins.
Wash them away. It's Arafat 2.0.
Take it all. Qasam. That's how I felt. I felt like a waterfall.
Really?
Voila.
Never a moment is, why me? Why
never.
Me?
Never. I said, Allah shukar, Allah bak, if you're going to test me. Rasulullah said, don't ask to be tested.
Yes.
But I said, if you're going to test me now while I have love, while I have support, while I have people around. Don't test me when I'm alone, down there or in the akhirat, because then I'm alone. Yeah, I got support. So test me all you want now. And that's what got me through. Qasam Safira, I can't tell you that 1 month was the best.
Sure.
You know?
Powerful.
The nurses at night, they would come just to come and chat.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I couldn't sleep. And the one nurse told me, she said, you know, the day that you walked in, the nurses and I all said, oh, look at this one. Her skin is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a pity what the chemo is going to do to her. So I said, what do you mean? So she said, you know, your face, and like I never switched the TV on in my room. She said, you know, your face was supposed to have been black like the TV. So I said, no. She said, yes. Your face was supposed to change color because of the chemo that you are on.
Hmm.
How is your face looking like this? I said, sister, it's my God. I ask him for everything. I even told him now he must give me good skin. See, he's listening.
Through chemo.
Through chemo.
Love that.
Qasam.
Where are you at the moment in your cancer journey?
Semi-remission.
Okay.
I'm still on chemo. I'll be on chemo till next year, February, inshallah.
Ameen.
I have my days, Safira, where I am, where I'm very tired, where I have pain. Like, and it's more like that neuropathy, like, you know, so every like nerve in your body hurts. I take the oral supplement, and I take the injection, and I have like a 1 week break. So yeah, like I have my days, but alhamdulillah for the good and alhamdulillah for the bad.
Alhamdulillah.
Sometimes I do cry a lot because I feel like, fuck, I can't take it. But somebody told me that, and I was so shocked to hear that any form of discomfort that a woman goes through, it's a means of reward for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just like for sickness or for giving birth.
Yeah, yeah.
But this person told me even a headache or any form of ache that a woman goes through, Allah is rewarding her. So alhamdulillah for being a woman.
Alhamdulillah
for all our aches and pains.
Definitely.
You know? And
does cancer put you in touch with your mortality? Do you think a lot about death?
Yes. Oh, and I'm so scared.
Do you get ready for it?
You get ready, but how ready can you be to
exactly.
meet your Lord? Our Prophet wasalam, the Sahaba anha, was scared of death, and they were
perfect.
Who are we, Safira? You know, I'm enrolled with the Madrasa, the Qamar Institute in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
We have classes every Friday, and I love the classes because we're doing tafsir of the Quran, but also lots of stories.
Okay.
And yesterday I was trying to catch up in a class, and the Apa spoke about the weight of our deeds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when this was how I picture, like, the scale. You got a two-part scale.
The scales of justice.
The scales of justice,
yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so all the good deeds are going to go on the one side, and all the bad deeds are going to go on the other side, and that's how the scale is going to go, whichever side is heavier. So she said, no, the scale that they're talking about is one scale. And every good deed of yours carries a weight. So everything you do in your life carries a weight. And it's basically about letting the scale get heavier with the weight of your good deeds.
Okay.
So she says, make intentions, and that's what I, and like even this morning, like I made like a physical intention while I was in the car. I said it out aloud.
Yeah.
That everything that I do today, if it's aligned with the sunnah, accept it as a sunnah and let it weigh heavy on my scale. So even like smiling at a person, it's an act of a sunnah, which is so simple. Washing your hands before you eat, it's a sunnah. We don't realize it.
Yes.
You know, we're doing it because we were taught to do it. But it's a sunnah, and it also prevents you from poverty, you know, by washing your hands before you eat. Mm-hmm. Going to the toilet with the left foot, coming out with the right. Just simple things like that. It's so easy to get rewarded. But I'm just making like more of a conscious effort to do that and to make my intention. And that's what I think my whole journey has taught me.
Really?
Yeah, like just be nice and be kind.
I want to get into this. Yes. The actual lessons from this.
Right. Another thing that I was taught in Madrasa is that it's not... Our five namazes, our roza, our zakat, our hajj, our kalima, that's all. That's, those are five non-questionable things. You have
it's,
to
the
do. It's the
pillars. Yeah.
But our Nabi said that the people who will be close to me on the day of Qiyamah are the people who are kind. Kindness costs nothing, but it's the most difficult thing for us to be. Doesn't cost a cent. You can be poor, but you can be kind. You can be rich, but you can be kind. But why did he say kindness? How often as Muslims, when we pass one another in a mall, we don't even make salam? Mm. And that's an act of kindness. Mm-hmm. How don't we judge others and think we are better than others? And kindness costs nothing. And it's something that we need to teach our children. Starting in our homes with our domestic workers.
Mm.
Be kind. Treat them like they're your own. Don't overwork, underpay.
Yes.
And we all, amongst our Muslims,
Everybody's guilty of that. Other lessons besides kindness?
Appreciation.
Gratitude.
Don't take for granted the people who love you. Mm. Don't take for granted the people who are there for you always. The people who have the time to send a message just to say, how are you? I've made it a concerted effort now. People that I know that are sick. Sometimes we get so busy in our life that time runs away from us. You don't have time to visit a loved one, a sick person. But I make it a point once every 2 to 3 weeks of phoning the people that I know that have cancer now. Ladies who are going through it. Just to find out how you're doing, I'm thinking of you. It's a 2-minute call.
Hmm.
But just to let you know, I'm thinking of you.
Did this whole journey change the way you see the world?
Yeah.
In what way?
I try to see Allah's beauty in everything. You know?
Mm.
Like you, everything now just seems prettier. More majestical.
How does it change your relationships with people?
Okay, I've become a bit of a recluse.
Really?
I have very bad social anxiety. When Umar Suleiman was here, I got tickets for his show, but I couldn't go because of who I was going to see.
Really?
Yeah.
And you were like the most social person I knew.
Safira, you don't understand. The social anxiety is so bad. And I don't know why.
What fuels it?
I don't know.
But do you not want to be seen as the, like, oh, shame, there she goes, she's got cancer?
Yeah, no.
Pity.
Maybe, and I don't think it's not the but.
Yeah.
It's when people see me, it's almost like I over exaggerated my illness.
Okay.
You don't look like somebody that had cancer.
Oh.
I was told at the mayor's house, did you fake your cancer so you could get extra followers on Instagram? That gives me anxiety. I look the way I look because of my Lord. Because of my Rabb, I can go to work. Even though I'm going through chemo, He's given me the strength to have a smile on my face, to get dressed up. Sometimes I'm fighting to do all of that, but the strength comes from Him.
Mm-hmm.
But to be seen by another person and in their minds, they're questioning the honesty in my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I be looking like this if I have a sickness. That's what keeps me away from people. God, it's
so cruel.
That's the first time I say that out aloud.
It's the chai lounge.
Oh,
everybody
God.
Spills everything here.
Because somebody else asked me, but why didn't you want to go for the show? And I was like, I don't know, I just don't want to see people. But that's exactly why I don't want to see people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people see me, they expect to see somebody who is
weak.
Weak. And why must I be weak if Allah didn't make me weak?
Love
He's that. Given me the strength. But who gives you the right to question that? Am I faking leukemia to get... Imagine getting told that, Safira.
My mind is like melting right now.
Really?
Like I can't.
I was told, did you fake it to get extra followers or attention on Instagram? What mental or what state must you be in your mind?
Yes.
To be able to say that to somebody else.
And how much of hatred
how
do
much
you
of hatred?
To say that to
Because you can't tell me that was said in jest. Yeah, that's what people need to learn also.
Manners.
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 Learn to control your tongue.
Yes.
If it doesn't involve you, if it's not your business, then mind your own damn business. Give people du'as because the du'as will come back to you tenfold. But mind your tongue because the tongue can hurt. And we don't realize that.
Somebody's got a diagnosis, so they're going through cancer and they're listening to this. What do you need them to know?
Allah chose you. Through all the pain that you're going through, through all the suffering that you're going through the horrible after effects of that chemo, just think of your sins being washed away so that when you meet Him, you are going to meet Him as pure as a newborn baby. He chose you for a reason. If He's not testing you, is He thinking about you? When He tests us, He is thinking about us.
How do you fight through the hard moments?
Know that the sun is going to set and a new day is going to come. My babies are my strength. They're so bloody naughty. But when all four of them are together and you hear them giggling and my heart is full. Really.
And you're fighting for them.
And I'm fighting for them. You know, we have this joke with my two big ones. They're 18 and they're 17. So now when people see the three of us, they're like, oh my God, you guys look like sisters. And before they would be like, oh my God, mommy, you're not our sister, you're a mother. Now they take it. Yeah, that's how, yeah, mommy, just tell them we're sisters. And then whenever we go past bridal boutiques, then I'll always call Dubs. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be like, you know, that mother of the bride. I'm going to wear that. Mommy, you can't wear white. We're the brides.
Yes.
After my diagnosis, mommy, you can wear whatever color you want to our weddings.
I'm going to love
it's
it.
So cute,
I'm
yeah.
going to love it.
But, my babies are my strength.
What's the most annoying freaking thing about cancer?
Food. You know, we take food for granted.
Really?
Yeah. Because when you have cancer, everything tastes bitter.
Really?
Like you just want to enjoy food
and we're not, so obsessed with
so
food
obsessed, yeah.
and we deny ourselves
yes,
food
yeah.
and we're like diet.
But it's like you just want to enjoy the taste of food without the bitterness, without that horrible taste in your mouth. Everything tastes the same. Everything tastes horrible. You're basically just eating to survive.
Really?
You're not enjoying what you are eating.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that's like the one thing that I
the
hate about it.
Thing.
Yeah. And you know the tiredness that comes with it.
Really?
It's,
like
a
just it's a physical exhaustion.
You can't explain it. You're just tired.
So if anybody's feeling that exhaustion, please go see your doctor.
Yeah, really, ladies. Like we take a lot for granted as women, and most women have this mindset that if I don't know, it's better. But alhamdulillah, technology has advanced so much. Medicine is advancing at such a rapid pace. Rather catch it in earlier days.
Did you have like people coming to you and saying, eschew modern medicine and do alternative stuff?
Oh, all the time.
To eat the
all
seeds.
The time.
How,
you know?
How do you deal with it?
I was scared to go the alternate route.
Yeah.
Allah has given us doctors for a reason. Yes, He's put the natural remedies out there as well.
Yeah.
But I just felt that I needed to listen to my doctor.
Mm.
That was my gut.
And you're glad you do.
And alhamdulillah, I'm glad that I did. Really.
Really.
And now I still do the natural things.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously with the chemo, there's lots of horrible side effects, insomnia, depression.
Really?
I went through all of that. I went through sleeping tablets last year. I can't even tell you like up until what schedule.
Oof.
It was bad, Safira.
Really? So you don't sleep?
You don't sleep the night. The moment Maghrib sets in, yeah, you have anxiety.
Really?
Yeah, because now it's going to get dark.
Oh.
When people are going to sleep, you won't be able to sleep. Your eyes are closed, but you are not sleeping. Fajr comes, that's when sleep hits.
Mm.
So I had to wean myself off. Sabra, it was so bad last year between my anxiety, the insomnia. I went to see my psychiatrist because last year I was just like, everything was trial and error. Try this antidepressant, that sleeping tablet. Then obviously they were contraindicating each other. Then you're on chemo. So we had to find the right recipes. Mm. I was chopping, changing. Came to a point where my psychiatrist had to admit me to like a psych ward or psych. I went there for one night and I couldn't.
Really?
I begged them to please let me go the next day because it was so bad. It was so, so bad. And I promised her that I would keep a diary and go see somebody every day, but I couldn't be in the psych hospital.
Mm.
And then I had last year, was it last year or this year? I had two very, very bad experiences one night after the next where I was paralyzed in my sleep.
Oh, sleep paralysis, basically. Yes.
And I was hallucinating that I was being attacked. Like, I could hear a gun. I could feel the gun against my head.
Yeah.
And I was screaming and asking them to leave me alone. And it felt so real.
Really?
Yeah. And the next night I woke up with the sound of like screaming, like this ear-piercing scream.
Mm.
And it was me.
Mm.
And that's when I decided, no, I can't do this. I need to start weaning myself off my medication because it was just messing with my head. The one day I drove to work and for like 5 seconds I was like, oh my God, where am I? A route that I take every day. I didn't know where I was. The brain fog was so bad that clients would walk into the room that I would see on a regular basis. And I was asking the client, please, can I get your name? I didn't recognize who I was speaking to.
Hmm.
And now I'm on alternate supplements, which alhamdulillah is helping.
I'm glad you mentioned this because people don't see all of this.
They don't.
There's so much to it.
And you know what?
Every medication has a side effect.
It shouldn't be a taboo subject.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be embarrassed to say that you felt like you were going off your head.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And then obviously, what the chemo, it brings on menopause. Full-blown menopause. So now you're like a dragon at home. God. Safira, it's bad. I had to ask my children for maaf. I wrote letters to both my girls. And I said, make me maaf. It isn't you, it's me. And I'm really trying to control it, but it's hard. Because you're like a bloody bull. You see red and you just, like a cupboard door is open and it's like the end of the world. A child leaves their t-shirt on the floor and you want to like flop. Poor children. God. Yeah, but.
It's real. Right now, how's your mental health?
Alhamdulillah. So I started microdosing on the reishi mushroom.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah, Safira. Really? I went to see this lady with the intention of getting lion's mane.
Yes.
Because of the brain fog.
Yes.
And you know when I say brain fog, like proper fog, your brain is just cloudy.
Really?
It's cloudy. And you know what it feels like? Like a ball of yarn.
Oh, gosh.
That's what my brain felt like.
Yeah.
Heaviness, fog, and this ball of yarn.
Mm.
And alhamdulillah, I'm on it now this is my second month. And I'm so happy.
So you originally went for lion's mane, now you decided.
Yeah, so the lady heard my story and she said, not lion's mane, you need reishi.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah, last month was the first month that I didn't get sick. My kids were sick and I didn't get sick. So it helped with your immunity. It helped with brain fog. So I'm very happy with it, shukar.
Alhamdulillah. So what are you going to do next year, February, when inshallah, ameen,
when
ring the bell, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Inshallah. So, first things first.
Yes.
I must tell you, Allah loves me so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Even though I lost all my hair in chemo,
yeah,
like I went totally bald, he kept a bit of my lashes and my brows.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So I decided that, number one, because like, so I'm embracing every like style that my hair is growing into, and every style deserves a country.
Yes.
So I told my girls that every style deserves a country. So initially I
thought, which country are you in?
Suppose I was thinking this look that I currently have right now needs to be in Paris. But then my girls are like, no, mommy, Paris needs like those chic short bobs. I said, okay, we leave Paris for now. But before I do any of that, inshallah, my intention is to go with my children and my parents for Umrah.
Ameen.
When that is my intention next, I feel that that's where I want to give my thanks.
What are you going to do when you see that Kaaba?
I don't know, Safira. Just thank Allah.
Like a thank long him a
thank him a million times over. Really. That's what I want to do next year. I want to go Umrah, inshallah. Ameen. That's where I want to give my thanks to Allah.
Ameen. And the fun stuff.
Oh, and then the fun stuff. Yeah, okay, so now, I don't know, because initially I thought Paris, but I don't know, because right now I'm like really, really short. I'm like boycott short. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to see where that's going to take me.
Somewhere island.
You think so?
I think an island.
Okay, Safira, you're putting ideas in my
head. And the post-chemo first meal, what's it going to be? Or post-remission?
I'm hoping something sweet. Because I don't have a palate for anything sweet. You know when I see that viral Dubai chocolate?
Yes.
I want to vomit. I can't handle seeing something sweet, smelling something sweet, or tasting something sweet.
So
it's gone.
You like, maybe Paris is not a bad idea, because a croissant and a hot chocolate.
You never know, Safira.
Something lovely.
Know. Inshallah, Ameen, if Allah wills.
Ameen. Yeah. I've got some rapid fire questions.
Okay, cool.
Let's go.
Give it to me.
Let's go. Okay, so if you were to do a modest Met Gala theme, how would you dress it up?
You know, I actually love the current theme that they had yesterday. What is
I
it?
I thought
the,
of you. Safira, it's the dandyism and the black tailoring.
You know, yes. I thought that I could make that look so...
Your white shirt era.
White shirt era, yes.
Yes.
Nice black tie, fitted long black dress. Sort of like what Halima wore. I don't know if you remember, there's an outfit that Halima wore. It was a black outfit with a bit of a cape.
Yes.
But now we put a white shirt, structured black tie. Mm-hmm. And obviously we do a turban and a nice black top hat.
A top hat. Definitely the current theme.
Yes, current 100%. Theme, definitely.
I have to ask you, your 2012 necklace collection, where is that?
I still have it.
Do you still have it?
I still
Are
have
you waiting
it because,
for it to come back?
Let me tell you, fashion like history will repeat itself. And I know that
you
gonna
had
come
an epic collection.
I did, right?
You
and
really
I still
did.
Do.
You really did.
My girls are enjoying the minimalist part now of my collection, but now and again I'll throw in a piece just for.
You can keep it for Saz and I.
Yeah, done. Okay. As long as you guys send me the all of the duas done.
What's your dream collab?
My dream collab with an international brand.
Any brand. Skincare, fashion.
Skincare would be Biologique. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. You know, their lotion P50 took the market and took the market by storm.
Yes.
It's discontinued now, by the way.
I heard it's like the eye cream is $1,000. Is that correct?
Yeah. That would have been an amazing, amazing collab. If they had to use me for the face of the brand, maybe. But I think skincare, not so much clothing right now. If it was clothing, that's so cliche, but Chanel.
Yeah, I see you suiting that aesthetic. Yeah. I do. So now, Tasneem Valley goes to an island.
Right.
And she's only allowed to take 3 skincare products. What does she take?
Easy, done. Sunblock SPF 50. We're going to make it a tinted one.
Okay, clever.
Because then you get in the coverage, right? I'm not so worried about the hair. Lip gloss, my Rode Peptide.
Love
right?
it.
And I'm going to take, let's mention a local brand. We can do, okay, make it 4, Safira. Come now.
Okay. Four. I'll give you the
right?
fourth one.
We'll do a eye color correct. She's got a 4-in-1 that can be used for your eye, for your lip, and for your cheek.
And I can't live without blush, so that's
right.
a good one.
And you can use your hands.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't even have to get any makeup brushes. And then we could take a lip pencil from Switch, which can also be used as lip liner, eye shadow, and as a lip cheek stain.
I'm taking you from an island and I'm putting you in a lab to make your dream skincare product.
Ooh,
what would that fun, be fun. And what would the ingredients be?
Okay, so it would be definitely an anti-aging cream. Think Death Becomes Medicu- Her.
No.
You know, Death Becomes Her, Meryl Streep yes. and Goldie Hawn, I
yes,
think.
Yes, yes.
So we get a cream that will help tighten ladies' faces and also their hands, because a lady's age is given away not by her face but by the back of her hands.
And your dream ingredients right. in it?
Niacinamide. And give me another anti-aging ingredient, Safira.
I would. What's your thoughts on vitamin C?
Okay, niacinamide and vitamin C. Vitamin do work C. well together. Yes. But so and potent.
And maybe when it goes on, yeah. it gets super cold. So it tightens everything.
But, yes. But also, when, so it's niacinamide, vitamin C, and let's do a little bit of a licorice extract also for brightening. Mm. Okay, so we get an anti-aging brightening cream. So you're gonna be all.
I would say put 24 karat gold in there.
Okay, what the hell is my lip? I can do what I want to do.
For the
fine,
aesthetic.
Yes, but it's gonna leave your skin looking tight, firm, and bright.
Bright.
Yeah.
Can we? Will we get a Tasneem Valley skincare line? Can you tease it?
Just yesterday, my daughter said, "Mom, that's what you need to bring to everybody, a skincare line." Inshallah, you never know, because I see like the third or the fourth person putting it out there.
So maybe we need to go to Korea and get it.
We put it out there in the universe. You never know.
You never know.
I'm a firm believer that what you be careful intention. What you put out, because it does come back.
It does. 100%.
So be careful what you say to your body, because your body listens. Mm. So words are important. Mm-hmm. Manifest good things. Because I guarantee you it happens.
One thing about your skincare line, the aesthetics are going to be on point.
Inshallah, Amin.
It's going to be on point.
Amin, thank you, Safira.
This is the chai lounge.
Right.
What's the best way? How do you take your chai?
No sugar.
No sugar.
Yeah, very hot.
Best. Yeah. And who's your dream guest to have a cup of chai with? Living, dead, famous, unfamous, you name it.
Oh, God. Who would I want to actually sit down with? Safira, I never thought about this. And I'm going to kick myself when I drive back, because I should have said my nanny, who I never met.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
When I see pictures of her, she was this epitome of grace and beauty. And when I hear stories about her, she came from a very wealthy and affluent family.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave all of that wealth up for true love. And she was a looker.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a love story.
So I think it would be my nanny that I never met.
What would be the title of your autobiography?
She thought she couldn't do it, but she did it.
She did it.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
With every aspect of my life. Like, ugly girl, the girl who thought she was so ugly at school and grew up. Like my brother always says, you are a fine example of the ugly duckling that turned into a swan.
100%. And well, I wouldn't have called you.
No, I know, but yeah, I know, but like in every aspect, like even going through this, it came. We got through it. Inshallah, we're still going to get through it.
I mean,
but yeah.
I'm so happy you joined me on the show.
I'm so happy that you asked me to join you.
It was so nice to be chatting to you.
Same here.
What an amazing chat, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
To end off, any shout outs you want to give? Any words of wisdom?
This is dedicated to every person out there going through the most. Everybody's going through challenges in life. It might not be sickness. It could be wealth. It could be love. It could be challenges or tests with your children, with your spouses, financially, emotionally, mentally. Just remember that if you speak to Allah, He listens. He listens, and don't despair. Because that help that you're asking for can come in many forms, and it can come through people also.
Love that.
Thanks.
Thank you for this.
It's only a pleasure.
Thanks for
having me.
Being with me at the beginning of my career into this other second phase.
I love how you've grown. I'm sitting across an author of a book. Did you think?
Never.
Alhamdulillah.
What you put out there becomes your reality.
Exactly. Manifest it. And manifest big. Remember, Allah is as big as you think of Him.
Absolutely.
So ask. Ask to travel business class. I ask. It's going to happen someday. It's going to happen.
Next year.
You know?
Next
Inshallah. Ameen. Just ask Him.
Ameen.
But yeah.
How do we book appointments for class, Kin?
Oh,
and
ladies,
where do we contact you?
You can contact my beautiful and amazing receptionist, Leko, on 084-407-3333. I am based in Hyde Park, but I do travel now. I see clients in Zambia, in Pretoria. Where else do I go? Oh, Durban and Cape Town. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Once again, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Chai Lounge. We'll chat again. I'm definitely going to chat again soon to you.
Thanks. Yeah, no, next year, February, I'll be back.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Please sound off on the comments on my page at Safira Kaka on Air. And until we meet again, it's fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.